This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and maybe even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
The New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets made a trade.
What the hell? No way.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
We're back. We're back. I think it predates Kyrie Irving's existence on this flat earth.
I think you're right.
Earlier on the show, Commanders running back Austin Ekeler. Coming up, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Actor and director Jimmy Tatro. And now... it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show, hour number two. Tom Pelissero is going to be joining us in about 20 minutes' time. Phone lines are lit. Everybody wants to play the win-loss game, which I love. I love, because it's late June. We have no idea how it's going to work. Nobody's had a single training camp practice yesterday. This is when confidence is high. Confidence is very high. And so phone lines are lit. We'll do that in a second.
TJ, you should do the middle 10 rankings. Like Rich did the top 10 and I did the bottom 10. You should do the middle 10.
But what are we accomplishing with that? You had me at hello.
Like which teams are just completely average, might make the playoffs, might miss it.
That's interesting.
You know what I mean? Like the teams that are going to go 9-8, 10-7, that's the middle of the road.
I like
Jack
that.
Right there.
I like that.
Do you want to do it? Like, not right now,
not
but
the second,
today.
But like,
we can't
you know,
do it,
like when we get back from fourth
yeah,
break.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
Right. Okay.
I'm down with that.
You're in. Well, you can do it tomorrow.
Oh.
Well, I got another something planned for tomorrow. Though.
What do you have planned for tomorrow?
Oh. You know, a little top five for
ooh.
You.
Oh.
What's the top?
Breaking news.
But what top five are you planning?
Well, you want me to ruin it right now?
No, what do you mean? What's to ruin it?
Throw it out there. Give the audience a
what
taste.
Well, I feel like if I give it to you now, everyone's just going to go do their own research. And then what's the point of me having the top five?
So then what's the point of mentioning it here?
Because you said do it tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm like,
okay.
I already have something. I'll do more than one segment tomorrow if you want.
No, I don't. Well, I guess this is what a post-show meeting's for.
I mean, I got a top five tomorrow, too.
Yeah, that's what I'm
saying. Oh, my God. How many top fives can we have?
And you'll have a top five.
I don't have one. I have my power rankings. Five. I have my power rankings.
Right now?
Well, I mean, there's no time like the present.
Oh, this is
bonjour. Je m'appelle Rich.
Here's my top 10 power rankings for this day. Inspired by the number of French people that are beginning to dominate the NBA draft. Last year, it was Victor Wembanyama. Now, first two NBA players. Two.
Well, before Vic,
from
there was
France.
Tony Parker. There was
well,
Nicholas
I mean,
Batum.
Listen, there's a long history. Trust me, when the Knicks drafted a Frenchman last night, there were a bunch of folks from New York City who were like Frederick Weiss and Frank Nilakina. No, thank you. Je m'appelle GTFOH. That's my name. But guess what?
Yes.
I'm inspired by all this. I'm not repelled. We are Francophiles here on the Rich Eisen Show. I have a power ranking of my top 10 French contributions of all time. Hit it.
Hit it.
This is my
power rankings.
There are many like it, but this one is mine.
Power rankings.
All right, here we go. Give me the music, since this is about French items.
This is great. This is Cafe.
Je m'appelle Richard, and these are my
right
power
outside,
rankings.
Arc de Triomphe.
Wait, let me get a croissant and a cigarette. Real
and
quick.
Let me just tell you, just to explain to you just how unserious this is.
Number 10
on my list of top French contributions is their architecture.
Oh.
10th.
Nice.
French, this should be one. Okay. You know, it kind of should be one. Art and architecture.
Should be one. Yeah, I was going to say Statue
of Liberty.
But
this is 10.
Number one.
The Eiffel Tower. I've seen it in person. I've been to the top. It's remarkable.
It's beautiful.
It's remarkable.
I love it.
It hurt me to see Superman 2 destroyed. But it was for good.
Yeah, true.
And then again, the fact that I'm bringing up Superman 2 when it comes to the Eiffel Tower just shows you how unserious this list will be. Statue of Liberty, Arc de Triomphe. I could even throw art and architecture in here just to show you how unserious this is. Because wait till you hear the 9 that are supposedly more important than architecture from France.
Am I the only one here who hasn't seen the Eiffel Tower in
person?
You've
never been to Paris?
I haven't either.
It's impressive. It's unbelievable.
Really beautiful.
You should go.
Yeah,
you should do that.
You should definitely do that.
Number 9 on the list of all top French contributions are all things French that didn't really originate in France. French fries, French toast, and the kiss. Because I'm assuming, again, I didn't look this up, I'm assuming that version of the kiss existed long before France did.
You would imagine. Yeah.
And apparently French fries are from Belgium.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, there's an argument.
And they put mayonnaise on them.
Well, Don't ruin the rest of my list, sir. And French toast, I have no idea where they're from. I'm assuming it's just not France. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I missed that in my research.
All three of those things are great, Rich.
Number eight. Now this is very important.
French toast, Roman Empire.
Power rankings of top French contributions. Number 8 is pasteurizing.
What?
Very important.
Louis Pasteur
started killing bacteria and food and drink, and it started with milk, and you know it prevents the spoiling of food and milk and drink. I mean, that's very important.
Jeez, that's huge.
Oh,
yeah, that might have been
look at this
one,
young
really?
Lady on yeah, there with her milk mustache. Come on now.
The whole milk bones? Mustache campaign?
Please. Yeah, it would never have happened if Louis Pasteur didn't pasteurize
Shout
things.
Out to Louis.
Well done, Rich.
Number 7 on this list. This helped me get through school.
Oh, gosh.
A calculator.
Oh,
it's French.
Blaise Pascal in 1640 has been credited with building the first calculator. It handled addition and subtraction by manipulating dials, and he created it to help his dad, a tax collector. It's a father-son story.
Oh,
the calculator. Right. Did you know, looking at a calculator and flipping it upside down and spelling out Shell Oil? It's a father-son story.
Yeah,
there's some other words I used to spell on that calculator. We
Number 6 on the top French contributions. That's the only thing you spell, huh?
Hey,
stop it. Here we go. Number 6. Philippe Kahn. This is recent. 1997.
This is Tony's uncle?
Had a daughter. Birth of a daughter. And he was working for a web service called Picture Mail. And he decided he needed to create a better way of taking photographs of his daughter and created the first ever phone camera.
What?
Number 6. The phone camera is French.
No idea.
So, do you know how that's changed everything?
Everything.
Everything.
Got it.
I mean, the number of photographs that I have in my camera that I can't believe I've kept for years.
By the way, TJ is the king of that. Yeah, he's got
Rich,
so many.
67,000 pictures.
Now we're bringing it. Now we're finishing
I'm
up
at
strong.
28,000.
We're finishing up strong, guys.
You mean that
top
wasn't
five.
Strong?
Top
that
five.
Was strong.
Top five.
Here we go.
His name is Andre Cassagne. Okay. He's an electrical technician, an inventor, and toy maker. And he decided to figure out a way to create two little styluses worked by knobs to scratch off aluminum shavings and create the Etch-a-Sketch.
Oh, yes, wow, the Etch-a-Sketch.
The Etch-a-Sketch is French.
He deserves a Nobel Prize.
Tell me about all the time. I mean, honestly, the number of times I want to look at my kids in the back of a car and say to them, get off your phones,
and
instead give them an Etch-a-Sketch, because that's the way I got through long car rides when I was a kid.
No doubt.
There's no internet.
Yes.
There's no 5G connection.
Come on. 5G, 1G.
There were two knobs, and it was infuriating because I sucked at it.
Yeah,
and then somebody would hand it to you, and it looked like the Mona Lisa.
It was hard.
To talk about stuff in France. Number 4.
Not make it easy.
Number 4. This one's for you, TJ.
Okay.
May 19th. 1946.
Oh, yeah. I know the date.
A gentleman named Andre René Roussimoff was born.
Oh,
and he
Andre.
Became known as Andre the Giant.
Yes.
Yeah, boss.
Born in France. Look at that man.
Him. That's him with Arnold, by
What
the
a
way.
Contribution. What a contribution to society.
Four, 500 pounds. The eighth wonder of the world.
Eighth wonder of the world.
Yeah, little guy next to him. Andre the Giant.
That's Arnold. Number three, 1956, the French army
rolled over.
Was just won some victory somewhere. This is my research. And the army chef reportedly lacked the proper amount of cream to make a sauce for a victory dinner and decided to mix oil and eggs together and created mayonnaise.
I could do without
that.
This is apparently very controversial.
Mayonnaise was only invented in 56.
1756.
Oh,
1756.
Like,
in 1956, they could have just gone shopping.
I was like, what?
Mayonnaise was born.
I'm not a fan.
Number two on this list.
The light man.
This is apparently an invention of the 50s.
1950s?
The bikini. And I should just, it'll be ungentlemanly of me to elaborate.
How is
to use the phrase
one?
From that thing you do.
Number one?
I love the French.
Listen, yeah. I almost asked, and this is okay, even if Susie's out there watching and listening right now.
Which she is.
I asked Mike Hoskins to find Eva Green in a bikini just to get put somebody from France in a bikini to just, if you will, emphasize the point.
Let's watch a casino.
Put the accent on the ague. So that's the bikini. Number one is just to be, again. You can't. I mean, I understand. Like, how is that not number one?
Right.
Because you know, the French invented movie making. The actual process of movies.
So you went serious.
I went Lumiere. The Lumiere brothers. I mean, the number. I mean, it's not serious. This is without movies. This show doesn't exist. You know, going to the movies, meeting people, hanging out. The movies is incredible.
But
actually, the process of putting something on film, they also created photography, too.
I still like the bikinis.
Was that anticlimactic?
I was good with number two.
After bikini, we kind of checked out.
You did.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
That's my power rankings. In honor of the first two draft choices in the NBA draft, being French, with multiple Frenchmen being drafted in the NBA last night in the first round. That's called inspired programming. Great choice of music. I appreciate that.
You got it.
I put on Twitter yesterday the gold medal Olympic game between the U.S. and France in 2032. It's going to be must-see TV.
Do you think so?
Oh, yeah. We're probably going to lose that game.
Well, I mean, unless maybe the savior of the team will be the top choice of the 2031 draft by the Brooklyn Nets using the Knicks choice they acquired yesterday. Don't sleep on that choice, guys.
Wherever he is.
What if Wemby becomes a U.S. citizen?
Oh, that would be controversial.
You know what I mean?
I don't think they'll let him do that.
Okay.
Okay.
Good job, man. I like that.
Did you like that?
That was really funny.
That's my power rankings of all of the top French contributions. There are many others. Do you know they created denim? Parachutes? Really? Stethoscopes? No. Braille?
The French did all this?
Yes.
Man.
I looked it up. I looked it up, and it's on the internet, which means it's got to be true.
It's definitely
got to be true.
Oh, my God. Everybody wants to play the win-loss here.
A lot of win-loss
games. All right. Brody in Baltimore has been waiting more than everyone else. Let's go in with him. What's up, Brody? How are you, sir?
Hey, you guys.
Hey, you guys.
That was that's the electric company.
That's Chunk from Goonies.
To be on with you. First time. Love you, long time. I was hoping I could throw... submit to evidence a little win loss for my birds here in Baltimore.
Let's do it.
Submit to evidence. Are you an attorney?
But excuse me. This is on the record.
I can neither deny
when you play the
confirm that, TJ.
When you play the win loss game on the Rich Eisen show, it's not only on the record; it can go viral.
That is true.
True.
And the second I think the second gentleman of the United States is experiencing that virality right now.
So
he popped his win loss.
It's great to see people go and like not argue about their politics with him and argue about his football picks. That was the best part.
Yes,
of
yeah. You guys got a little production value.
I mean, we're doing it right now. Yeah. I mean, by the way, Anthony in Pennsylvania is like he's been immortalized in our house because Cooper walks around going tough loss all the time.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
All right, here we go.
Tough loss.
Tough loss. That's what he says all the time to me. Here we go. It all starts in Kansas City, as we know. You spoil
the road to Valhalla, gentlemen.
Do you spoil it or not? Yeah,
Chief, I got to tell you, I think New Era 8 is greater than the New Era Tour, and we poop on their parade. We kick it up.
That. A little bit of a Taylor Swift reference to start us off. A backhanded. All right, so what happens now home for the Raiders?
You know what, Rich? My calendar says autumn doesn't arrive for another week, so we take a win there.
All right, 2-0 at the Cowboys.
Cowboys is tough, DJ. Mm-hmm. You guys are stacked. You got talent, but I don't trust them against conference championship-bound opponents. I think we take another win here.
3-0 home for the Bills.
All right, so here's that annual Josh Allen. We're going to take it with a Super Bowl win. Let down moment for us. I think we take an L here.
At the Bengals.
It is the shootout. I think Lamar, Bateman, Zay, the whole mishpucha, I think they go nuts.
Mishpucha.
I think we take a win here.
All right. By the way, I never thought I would ever hear the word mishpucha and Zay Flowers in the same sentence.
What is a mishpucha?
It means
from
people.
From a guy in Baltimore.
Means people. Okay. Washington Commanders.
You know what? This is going to sound crazy. I think this is a trap game. I think this is a Jaden Daniels coming out party. I think we take a loss.
Wow.
4-2.
4-2 at the Buccaneers on a Monday night.
Derrick Henry, fantasy player, dude of the week, runs for 200-plus, a couple TDs, and we take a win.
5-2 at the Browns.
I think Deshaun and Amari, I think maybe they kind of torch us through the air. I think Lamar tries to overcompensate, throws the ball around and a bunch of picks. I think this is a sneaky loss.
Dude, if you're 5-3 after losing the Browns, that would be an interesting time to be in Baltimore. But you're now at home for the Broncos. You're bouncing back?
We are. This is a coaching battle.
Okay.
Horses are afraid of birds. But it doesn't matter because the Broncos suck.
6-3. That made a turn from Animal Kingdom to...
He said that with his chest.
I know. I mean, it's just like horses and birds and they suck. Okay. all right. Where are we? 6-3, home for the Bengals on a Thursday night.
I don't want to speak this into existence. I think Burrow may be hurt.
Oh, boy.
And I think we tromp them.
Okay, 7-3 at the Steelers.
This one's rough. You know, Rich, I got to tell you, I see the Steelers as a very sneaky playoff team. I think they're looking to get a signature win. I think we take a loss.
Dude, 6. Here we go. We got 7-4 at the Chargers, the Harbaugh.
The Harbaugh. This is a chef's kiss. We're pissed about Pittsburgh. Michigan man let down. Sorry, Rich. I think we tromp them.
8-4 home for the Eagles.
Tough one. Birds versus birds. Chelsea gone. I think we take a win here.
9-4 at the Giants after a bye.
You know, I think we try to make this interesting by going out the night before for a little gobble ghoul and Montepulciano and make it interesting. Play a little hungover, but I still think we
10-4 win. And a quick turnaround for the Steelers at home. 10-4 on a Saturday night.
Redemption time, baby. Win.
11-4 Christmas Day in Houston.
This is probably the game of the week. Take the over for entertainment purposes only. GB jersey swaps, all the good stuff, and a win.
Home for the Browns.
I think Deshaun is benched. I think Jameis goes in and throws a bunch of picks, and we walk all over.
All right, thanks very much. There's Brody in Baltimore. Right, Brody. Dropped a lot of references.
I know, Rich, if I may, one more thing. I believe there was a guy yesterday that had some Fugazi Jaguars 13-4. Which is what I have my guys at. I propose a side wager with the man.
Yeah, that was Steve in Florida did that. So
Steve, I will send Steve a dozen of our finest blue crab on ice if they go 13-4.
Write all this stuff down. I love the smack talk between strangers that we're bringing together through the win loss game. Thanks for the call, Brody. Appreciate it. All right, there you go. You know what? Let me just say this. The Ravens season, the schedule, is just filled with dynamite matchups, like every damn last one of them, starting with the opening night in Kansas City, and then they've got the Raiders at home. This is exactly the time, because the Raiders start off against the Harbaughs. They start at Jim, then they go at John. And they're going to be flying across the country. Let me see. That is a 1 o'clock Eastern game. And you know Antonio Pierce is going to start setting up by saying, we're not same old Raiders where it's a problem going west to east, early window. We're going to go and we're going to bring our brand of brass knuckles. Then they're at Dallas.
late window Fox, whole country's going to see that. That'll be one of the America's game of the week on Fox.
That's Brady, right? Brady and...
I'm sure it will be. Brady and then Brooklyn. They're home for the Bills at the Bengals for their first division game.
First five games are tough.
Home for the Commanders, which is a battle of the mid-Atlantic, if you will. And that's just going to be of interest in that city for sure. Then they're at Tampa on a Monday night. Then they're visiting Cleveland. Home for Denver, home for the Bengals on a Thursday night on Amazon Prime. At the Steelers after that, then there's the Harbaugh, then the Eagles come in, then they have a bye, they're at the Giants, middle of December, and then comes that weird scenario that they, Kansas City, Houston, and Pittsburgh are all going to be, which is one plays another on a Saturday, so they get enough complimentary rest right before the Christmas game on right Wednesday.
Right.
They're home for the Steelers on a Saturday and then at the Texans on a Wednesday on Christmas. And then they're home for the Browns. That is just a dynamite crucible of a season. If the Ravens are going to be the one seed in the AFC again, they are going to be battle tested.
They can start 1-4.
I doubt they will. They're a really good team.
I'm saying,
man,
they could. At KC, at Dallas, at Cincinnati.
And that game at Dallas,
you
TJ,
a betting man would not bet on that.
I'm telling you, man, that game at Dallas is really all about, like, if the guy in the purple 22 uniform, saying, and you were saying, and everybody else was saying, would be perfect in Dallas if they only wanted to spend the requisite amount of money on a free agent of his caliber. Man, oh, man. Now, Zeke could be sitting there going, I'm back, and I'm being fed. You didn't need Derrick Henry. You got me back. That is going to be a wild week three affair. I am fired up. The Ravens schedule this year is going to be must-see TV.
And what's funny is Corey from Baltimore picked the Ravens a little bit ago. He also went 13-4. So
they're that good. I think they're good. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Pelissero, Tommy P is going to be joining us next. That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show. What's going on with Ayuk and the 49ers right now and more?
This Rich Eisen Show podcast is sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Whether you're driving, cooking, or doing laundry, Progressive knows the podcasts you listen to go best when they're bundled with another activity. Much like how their Progressive home and auto policies go best when they're bundled. Having these two policies together makes taking care of your insurance easier and could help you save too. Customers who save by switching their home and car insurance to Progressive save over $775 on average. That's a whole lot of savings and protection for your favorite podcast listening activities like going on a road trip, cooking dinner, and even hitting the home gym. Yep, your home and your car are even easier to protect when you bundle your insurance together. Find your perfect combo. Get a home and car insurance quote at Progressive.com today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $779 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states. This message is sponsored by Greenlight. As your kids get older, some things about parenting gets easier. But then again, there's that axiom. Bigger kids, bigger problems. Like having that conversation about money. The fact is, kids won't really know how to manage their money until they're actually in charge of it. And that's where Greenlight can help. My wife and I know all about it. Our oldest kid has got a Greenlight card. It's a debit card and money app made for families. Parents can send money to their kids and keep an eye on kids' spending and saving while kids and teens build money confidence and lifelong financial literacy skills. With the Greenlight app, kids learn how to save, invest, and spend wisely thanks to games that teach money skills in a fun, accessible way. And then that Greenlight app includes a chores feature where you can set up one-time or recurring chores customized to your family needs and rewards kids with allowances for a job well done.
Again, my wife and I have a green light card for our oldest kid, and you should as well. Millions of parents and kids are learning about money on Greenlight. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free when you go to greenlight.com/rich. That's greenlight.com/RICH to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/rich. Back here on our program, Tom Pelissero going to be joining us in a matter of moments here. I think he's hydrating right now. I can see. By the way, I now have eyes on our Zoom camera.
Yeah,
let's pop him up. Let's bring him on right now before the radio audience. How are you, Tom? What's going on?
He looks great.
You're watching me, and now that's disturbing. Now I've really got to be careful what I'm doing off air here, Rich.
But I should start. Hey, listen, I'm going to start quoting the police every breath you take right now. By the way, that is the number one. Wedding song that should never be played at a wedding. You're aware of that? Are you aware of that? Was that played at your wedding, Tom? That wasn't played at your wedding, was it?
Pretty sure not. But yeah, I mean, it's a little creepy.
That is.
You know, at any point in a relationship, that's probably not the vibe you want to be going for. I'll be watching you.
Well, no, it is about stalking, you know, but I've been at weddings where that's played and I'm like, this is not appropriate.
Think about this too. That song was released in what, 1980 something.
Yeah. 83.
And at that time, everyone didn't have smartphones, smartwatches, computers in their car, right. Everything recording your every move. You literally had to drive around following someone in order to stalk them, as opposed to now. You can just open your phone, and if you've turned on the right setting, you can find out, hey, they're down at the dry cleaner.
Oh,
right
I know
now.
That.
So
I know
really
that. Oh, my
ahead
God.
Of the time. Really ahead of the time here.
Oh, it's terrible. Again, you know, how old are your kids, Tom?
10 and 7.
Oh,
girls.
Just you wait.
So, yeah, I'm out to check out, defer to my wife for about the next, you know, 8 to 10 years.
Because, you know, my oldest can now tell, because through geotagging on Snapchat, where his friends exactly are. Oh, that's no bueno. You don't want any piece
well, then
of that.
If they're all together.
No,
and
then that's a different story.
There, right? That's the psychological torture. Why are they all grouped together and I'm at home?
Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. You know, it's not football season or anything close to football season when I spend any amount of time with Tom Pelissero, like I just did in the Roku channel only segment talking about wedding songs.
I got a lot of thoughts on wedding
songs. I'm sure you do, Tom.
We can do that all day. Well, and the season, by the way. It's not that far away. Do you realize 16 days from right now, Rich, the Ravens rookies report to training camp? We are less than a month away from every team being on the field in training camp. We are 70 days away from the opener. The next couple months here, it's fantasy draft central. It's everybody getting hyped up about all 32 teams. This is the beautiful, beautiful time of year. So we can sit here and say we're in the break. You know, before training camp, I look at it as we are already in that ramp up that, you know, if the NFLPA gets its way, will be even longer with players in training camp next year.
No, I know that. And that's the question. I want to start here. We've had a couple players on and I asked about reconfiguring the offseason, about maybe being in a ramp up to training camp now, right now, that leads into training camp. And not have OTAs and things of that nature. We had who we have on who was really into that idea of moving it around.
Definitely wasn't a reporter. I can tell you that.
Well, I know that. I mean,
no, Adam Thielen.
Adam Thielen from Carolina. That's right. Yeah. He was way into that idea. But the NFL and the PA already said that's not happening next year, right? They already decided because they gave out the new league year dates and everything like that. Or
well, they have to release those dates early on for planning purposes. But that right. doesn't mean that you can't have changes later on, right? As okay. of now. The offseason program, the April 7th, I think it is, with the new head coaches in 2025, that's on the calendar. But this is a very much a fluid situation. I mean, all these things are governed Rich, by the collective bargaining agreement, and that runs beyond the end of the decade here. But with new leadership at the NFLPA, with Lloyd Howell taking over, Jalen Reeves-Maven's the new president, they're kind of taking a look at some of these things and saying, well, you know, can we take aim maybe at some things that don't necessarily make a ton of sense? We've already seen them do it with the gambling policy, making adjustments there. We've seen it with some other lower profile things that we probably haven't even talked about. And this would be another one where, listen, everyone I've talked to, the consensus from a football perspective is that this makes a ton of sense. Why is the NFL the only league that has everybody ramp up to the best shape of their lives and then everybody go away for 6 weeks and then let's go right back into it and put on pads and do it even more intensely? It's more about the social aspects and the personal aspects of this that would create a great deal of challenges here. We'll see whether or not something advances and whether there could at minimum be tweaks in 2025. But this is very much something that I don't want to say it's a priority for the union, because this isn't like this would be the chip that they would give, you know, want to get to give the NFL 18 games. But it certainly is something the union leadership, and from what I'm told, the majority of players believe does make sense. And if the medical data sounds like it would back it up as well, it's something that the league and the union might decide collectively to do at some point. It's just a matter of how and when you implement it.
All right. So then let's get to something that is apparently happening right now that could lead to something significant in the short term and then obviously the long term. Is there any new daylight coming out of Santa Clara when it comes to Brandon Ayuk and the 49ers finding the same page here?
Well, Brandon Ayuk asked the 49ers for a meeting, which took place, I believe it was on Monday. Ayuk then told the media that the meeting was taking place, which has kind of followed the pattern for Brandon Ayuk through this offseason, which is whether it was staging a Zoom call with Jaden Daniels where he claims the 49ers told him they don't want him back, which definitely didn't happen, or it's him posting, you know, cryptic and not so cryptic tweets about every report and rumor that's out there. But from what I'm told, they had a good meeting. Ayuk has not requested a trade. He never did. He has not at this point. The 49ers have not changed their stance, which is, yeah, they listened to trade calls before the draft. They got him about Deebo Samuel too, but the price, if they were going to move either of those guys, was going to be high. Listen, Rich, we can all talk about, you know, Ayuk saying like, oh, I thought they were never trying to trade me. Well, 99.9% of guys in the league are available at some price. Outside of a handful of superstars, star quarterbacks, everybody else, you get offered enough, you're willing to listen on the guy. The 49ers listened on Brandon Ayuk, but they weren't going to, you know, give him away for less than a first round pick and probably more. So once the draft passed, they were fully focused on, we want Ayuk to be a part of the team. Could that still change at some point between now and the start of the regular season? Anything's possible if, again, some team comes out of the woodwork, gives Brandon Ayuk the contract that he wants, and is willing to give up huge compensation to the 49ers. Compensation that, let's remember, if it involves draft picks, can't help the 49ers in 2024 as they push for a Super Bowl here. It sounds like everybody's going to, you know, take the next couple of weeks, 4th July holiday, everybody's traveling, regroup after that, see whether or not they can get to a contract extension that makes sense for Brandon Ayuk to be in San Francisco for the long haul. This isn't a situation where Ayuk has told them, hey, I don't want to be back under any circumstances. It is definitely not a scenario where they've said, we want to give away Brandon Ayuk, we don't want you here. It's a negotiation. It's about money. Can they get there on a deal? If they do, then he's locked up for a long time in San Francisco. If they cannot, then, you know, Ayuk's going to have some decisions to make. Does he show up at the start of training camp? Does he give up close to $1 million or roughly $1 million a week during the regular season by beginning to miss games? I would think, this is just my speculation, but I would think Brandon Ayuk would show up before the start of the regular season. You play out the option year on your contract, then you might be staring down a tag in 2025, and we would see where things go from there. But they're going to make another attempt. We'll see if they can get something done.
What's the number that you're hearing that he's interested in? Does he want to top Justin Jefferson? Is that what we're talking about here? Or
I would be surprised if it's into Justin Jefferson territory, just because Justin Jefferson's been an all-pro. He's broken every record. It's hard to imagine that the number's going to go that high. But if you're a wide receiver and you're looking at the other deals that got done in this offseason, I think that any top wide receiver who knows that their payday is out there for them somewhere, $30 million per year, is going to be a potential aiming point. You know, does the Ayuk deal go that high? Is it more in the Amon-Ra St. Brown range, which I believe is 28, at least on paper? You know, we'll see. But obviously the 49ers haven't met Ayuk's number yet. Sometimes, you know, we all, I think, you know, fans, media, everybody's looking for acrimony and everybody's going to release their list of top five fits for Brandon Ayuk. It's a negotiation. There's different buttons that you can push. Some are more public than others. Ayuk has chosen to make certain aspects of this public. All the 49ers have said publicly, and they've reiterated it privately, is we want you here. We expect you to be here. Let's still try to work something out.
Tom Pelissero, one of the insiders from NFL Network, NFL Plus, my colleague right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'll ask you the question I asked Mike Florio last week. Who, in your best guess, is going to be the first $60 million a year annual payout quarterback in the National Football League, Tom?
Right now, Dak Prescott's the one that's got the best chance because he's maximized his leverage at each point through the course of his negotiations, not just by playing out his deal and potentially playing it out again here in 2024, but the fact that the Cowboys had to use a second franchise tag to buy themselves time for the paperwork to go through when he signed that extension a few years ago. That means a third tag would be 144% of his original cap number this year. So you're talking about close to $80 million in 2025. That effectively makes him untaggable next year. And so for the Cowboys, if you're trying to get something done before he hits free agency, potentially even before the start of the season or training camp, $60 million very possibly could end up being that type of number. And I know that there's been a lot of speculation in Dallas. I saw it again on a TV network this morning. Is this, you know, is this it for Dak and Mike McCarthy? Are they both, you know, looking to save their jobs here? I would still say, Rich, it's fair to say there's a possibility, there's a pathway where one or both of them still could end up having new deals before the start of the season. I think that in Dak Prescott's case, you know, Jerry Jones wanted those leaves to fall. A lot of them have fallen at this point. They got a pretty good idea what that number might be. You know, there's different structures you can talk about. You can talk about a shorter deal potentially. And with Mike McCarthy, you know, Jerry Jones has watched him lead a team 3 years in a row that's won 12 games. Does he want to push this all the way through the season? Is there a possibility something could get done? I wouldn't rule out either of those scenarios here, Rich, but Dak will be the one to keep an eye on just because that's such a huge piece in a marketplace that also, of course, includes Tua Tagovailoa. It includes Jordan Love. It's going to include some other young quarterbacks in the coming years once they become eligible here. But right now, you know, the biggest contracts, the market reset contracts, they're generally about leverage. It's hard to imagine somebody who's got more leverage right now than Dak Prescott. Well,
unless it's Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence, right? It's not like there was leverage there. It was just, you know, giving them what they were happy to give him, I'm imagining, as well as figuring out by the time his contract's over, $55 million might be a relative deal for somebody of his talent level as well as market value. And that's why I identified when I was talking to Mike that just figuring out how it would work. Obviously, Dak, you said, has the leverage. That wouldn't be exacted till 2025, we're assuming. And then there's Brock Purdy to go next year, which is also looming over the Ayuk conversation that's occurring right now. And Jordan Love goes, Tua goes. That's why I'm kind of thinking maybe it's a couple of years until C.J. Stroud is the guy who gets to 60 first. Like, that's the one I pegged. Just trying to throw a dart at the board here, you know.
Also have to look at this as percentage of cap. And, you know, the percentage of the cap taken up by the top quarterback contracts has gone from 15% or so a decade ago. Right. So now all these deals are getting done at upwards of 20%. If you even look at the Trevor Lawrence deal versus the Joe Burrow deal,
yes,
in terms of percentage of cap, obviously Burrow was significantly more because the cap was like $20 million lower when he signed his new contract. So that's the other part of it, is all these teams are budgeting out into the future. The cap had an unprecedented spike this past year because the COVID debt had been paid off. You got gambling money, you got new media deals. And I would anticipate that it continues to grow, probably not at a $20 million per year type of a clip, but it's going to continue to go up. So, you know, with regard to Dak and when he can exact that leverage, I would argue, I mean, certainly the maximum leverage is when you've got additional bidders in 2025. But if you're Dak's agent, and Todd France has been doing this a very long time, he's got a very good idea of what the marketplace would be for Dak Prescott. And the Cowboys have a good idea that, hey, if we get into a multiple bidder situation, that's where it might be a Kirk Cousins type situation. And there only has to be one team to outbid us. If you're the Cowboys and you love Dak Prescott, which they do, your best time to get a deal may be right now, but Dak still has that leverage because if he doesn't get the number and the structure that he feels comfortable with prior to the start of training camp or maybe the regular season, then at that point, I think that the odds significantly spike that he's going to be putting on a different uniform in 2025.
Before I let you go, this also gained some interest with our fan base when we talked about it on the show earlier this week, was the Ty Dunn report that Mike McCarthy's been a little fed up with the whole concept of all in. And my response to that was, if it's true, can you blame him? What light can you shed on this conversation as we head into the Cowboys training camp season?
I would say this, Rich. Mike McCarthy has worked for Jerry Jones for the past 4 years. Every day that you work for Jerry Jones, who is a brilliant businessman, you know Jerry might decide to go on the radio or talk to the media after a game or say something that generates some type of buzz and creates things that then you're answering for the following week. Jerry saying all in, I believe that happened at the Senior Bowl, is just one little fleck of paint in the tapestry of everything that Jerry Jones has surrounding that organization all the time, which certainly from a business perspective has helped Jerry Jones be a very, very, very rich man. At times from a football perspective, maybe some of that stuff is disadvantageous. I don't believe that Mike McCarthy is thrown by any of that at this point because he knows Jerry. He knows the conversations that he has personally with Jerry Jones. Now, you know, when there's a lot of wisecracks on social media about every time they sign another UFL player of all in, Cowboys are all in. Like it becomes more, I think, of a media thing than anything else here. No, I don't believe that Mike McCarthy is in any way affected by something Jerry Jones says, just because Jerry does so much. If anything, knowing Mike, and I've known Mike since 2007 when I got on the beat at the Green Bay Press Gazette, going into a contract year as a guy who's led three consecutive 12-win teams, disappointing endings, no doubt about it over these past couple of years here. But Mike just wants to go out, kick everybody's ass, get a new contract, and go try to win Super Bowl. That's his focus at this point.
No, I'm sure it's his focus, but I mean, you can't blame him for a human moment to potentially share with somebody who then shared it with Ty Dunn. That he's fed up, you know, like this is ridiculous. Like I want CeeDee Lamb in here. We know we're going to pay him, so pay him. You know, I want Dak Prescott to not have all these questions asked of him, so pay him. You know, Micah Parsons, the whole business, obviously has no control over it. And you're right. It is part and parcel of working for the Joneses, which, you know, we both do technically also, you know.
Well, Jerry's got a lot going on. I mean, last year he was traveling all over the world. He had cameras in every meeting because he was having a documentary made about his life. You know, there's times where you're before the start of free agency and every team's talking about stuff. Jerry might be on his yacht for a week and you just wait till he gets back and you find out what you're doing. It's just it's everything's a little bit different in Dallas. And that's just kind of, you know, part of the show here. I mean, yeah, Mike would love for, I'm sure, Dak Prescott to get locked up and CD to get locked up and Micah to get his money. And I do think still, not just Dak, but CD, potentially there could be a window to get a deal done before the start of this season, too. I mean, we're sitting here in June. There's a long way to go still, a couple of months until the start of training camp. I think that, you know, as we've discussed many times, Rich, over the past several months here, a lot of other franchises would have been proactive in these types of situations with their franchise players, with their head coach. I can't remember any other team going into training camp potentially with their quarterback and their head coach, both headed into contract years. But again, Dallas is its own animal. Everybody knows that. You know, that's why, you know, it's kind of, I chuckle every time that people keep bringing up the idea, and we're at the end of last season, of could Bill Belichick work for Jerry Jones? And I just have these visions of the Cowboys suffer a tough loss in week one and Bill's walking out of the locker room and Jerry's got every camera around him and is sounding off on what they called on 3rd and 8 on defense in the fourth quarter. I don't see that match being able to happen, even though I know there's certainly mutual respect and a friendship between those guys.
Tom, greatly appreciate it. We'll chat again soon. Have a good weekend, pal. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Richie.
You bet. That's Tom Pelissero, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Listen, that whole Belichick sense too. I remember when Parcells took that job, everyone thought that'll never work, and it did. It did.
Top 5 teams for Aiyuk. Bills, nah. Steelers.
He's basically said don't go. It doesn't, it's not happening. Okay. It's not happening. And he's right. It's not happening. If it didn't, the only time it would happen would be at the draft. That's when it would happen.
But you know, think this is the NBA?
It's not the NBA. Where it's like, yeah, exactly. By the way, you're right. That's exactly right. Let's trade Ayuk for a 2025 first and trade him for a 2027 first. You know?
And a kid in seventh grade.
Right. No, but, and not have him and not have him this year.
Right.
Right, because we just got to get him off our books for free agency. That's just a different league, a different association. In the NFL, the time to do it would have been right before the draft in Detroit. Like, so you could then like flip or turn around and then take a very talented kid right. in the first round of the draft. And the Niners did both. They held on to their guy and took a really talented kid in the first round of the draft. And everybody thought, well, they took a kid in the first round of the draft. That means that Ayuk is now expendable. And then you would hear, well, the guy who's really expendable is Debo. That's the guy that they'd really want to maybe offload. And they could do that during the season. I don't even imagine that could happen during the season. Why would you do it? You're loaded for if it all fits under the cap right now and you could figure out how to work something for Ayuk to keep him happy and get him into camp, which he will be. In camp at some point before the beginning of the season, my two cents. Is it possible he holds out right until the very end? Sure. But that's always dangerous. That's how somebody shows up and has a soft tissue injury right off the bat. And I think this will get done, but one thing that's definitely not happening is these guys get traded. Why would they do that? Why the Niners don't need draft capital in 2025 at the end of the 2024 season. They need to beat the Chiefs if they're so fortunate to see them in the Super Bowl, you know? Let's take a break. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Jimmy Tatro is making his way to our set in hour number three and a Chris Brockman news update. Some fun stuff still to come.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Are you struggling to close deals? Business-to-business selling is tougher than ever, and that's why I want to tell you about LinkedIn Sales Navigator. LinkedIn Sales Navigator is a sales intelligence platform that helps professionals effectively prospect and engage high-value customers, drive higher revenue, and increase sales performance. Sales Navigator helps you target the right buyers, surface key signals such as job changes or which accounts you should prioritize, and shows you hidden allies so you can find those buyers that are most likely to convert. Fueled by LinkedIn's 1 billion member platform, Sales Navigator gives you the most up-to-date first-party data, enabling you to unlock conversations with the people that matter. Right now, you can try LinkedIn Sales Navigator and get a 60-day free trial at linkedin.com/direct. That is linkedin.com/direct for a 60-day free trial. Let LinkedIn Sales Navigator help you sell like a superstar today. Just go to linkedin.com/direct and get started. You are an accomplished water skiing enthusiast.
Yes,
you
I
once
am.
Worked as a water skiing instructor.
Yes, I am.
When the Happy Days writers found out, they wrote it into the script,
yes.
And that's how Jump the Shark was born.
Okay, my father said to me, tell Gary Marshall you water ski. I said, I'm not telling him I water. Tell him you water ski. So he told me enough times, I went to Gary, I said, I'm just going to say this. My father wants you to know I'm a water skier, and I was a counselor in camp as a water skiing counselor. All of a sudden, I'm water skiing. I pull up on the beach. I let go of the rope. I pull up on the beach. I step out of the skis, and I go, hey, look at that, and I'm smiling. Mm-hmm. If you watch the scene, half of that smile is the Fonz going, hey, I did it. And the other half is Henry going, oh, I can't believe you did it. True.
And you are aware of the phrase, jump the shark.
I am.
And it's meaning within the pop culture.
Yeah, I am.
Right?
A young man, John Heim.
Yeah, he's a Michigan guy.
A Michigan guy in his dorm room.
Yeah.
With his roommate, don't know his name. They came up with the phrase, jump the shark, because of that episode.
Yes.
And I met him years later. Now, this is America. He comes up with a phrase. There's a book. There's a game. He's on the radio, on the Howard Stern Network.
That's true.
Now, people say, how did you feel? That this phrase, jump the shark. Every time they mentioned it, and it was in the newspaper, mm-hmm. they had a picture of me water skiing. At that time, I had great legs. So I didn't care for 1 minute. We were number one for 5 years after that. What did I care? That's that true. There was a phrase.
That's true. That's true. Henry Winkler cursing is still one of my favorite moments. Game time tickets. Get in on your mobile device right now and start buying tickets to any event in your area. It is awesome. Major League Baseball in particular. It makes it so easy, Game Time, to buy tickets because Game Time is not only an authorized ticket marketplace of Major League Baseball, but you get to see the views from your seat so simply. The all-in prices with killer last-minute deals, they're available. Prices on the Game Time app actually go down the closer it gets to first pitch. It is awesome. The lowest price guarantee on top of it makes it so simple to just take the guesswork out of buying MLB tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use my code RICH for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem my code RICH for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. Guys, I went to the Copa America match last night.
Nice.
Between Venezuela and Mexico, and in SoFi Stadium, it was dynamite. It was just awesome. The atmosphere in that place, I took a photograph. And again, SoFi is just amazing. We are so lucky SoFi, to have it here in Los Angeles. And just the sun streaking through the side, because again, the roof is, it's a canopy and it's see-through as well. So it's so light. The sunlight on top of the roof just made it so easy to see everything. And it was about, I would say, 80-20 Mexico. There were tons of Venezuela fans, but most of them, you could see they were in green right there. That's for Mexico. And Mexico dominated for about 65, 70 minutes. And then Venezuela got a nice opportunity, and a foul in the box led to a penalty kick. And then in the 87th minute or 88th minute, there was a clear handball. The place went nuts when the ref didn't call it. Eventually, out came the VAR rectangle, went and looked at it, gave Mexico a penalty kick, and they blew it.
Oh.
They blew it. And it's just, again, I know it's tough to explain sometimes to some of our friends here in this country that something that's final score 1-0 is something so exhilarating. But it was. Can't wait for the Olympics. And the other thing, I'll sit here and say, seeing the grass in SoFi Stadium, I'm like, keep it. I don't know how difficult it would be to actually maintain it for two teams using it for
the two
18
teams,
straight
guess.
Weeks yeah. for the Chargers and the Rams. And plus, again, I said, you know, it is translucent, the roof. I don't know how you keep it. But man, because it's not like a system in Europe where there's trays underneath the stadium where you could keep it, I don't think. And it's definitely not like Arizona where you could just remove it and stick it in like a pizza in a pizza oven.
Right.
So you can take it out and have the sunlight hit it all week long and then just shove it straight in for the game. But I saw it in Dallas. I see it for all of these Copa America events that are happening in NFL stadiums. It's like, you could do it for Copa America. Can't you do it for your home team? It just looks better. It looks nicer.
Looks
I'm assuming it is healthier.
Looks
I'm assuming.
Great.
I'm sure there's a bunch of numbers that can be said, well, this happens on grass just as much as it does on the pellet surface. But I just loved seeing this played and not seeing the pellets fly up in the air. And some of these runs, it definitely, because I could see where the 50-yard line would be. Some of these runs were 30 yards at least. And it's exhilarating as it gets as close to the box and then the keeper. Yeah. It's really amazing. I would suggest anybody who can go to one to go to one. And certainly when the Olympics are coming here to this town, that's all I kept thinking World in this Cup, stadium. Cup. World Cup as well,
in
right?
2 years, Olympics in four.
But the World Cup final, is it going to be in Dallas? Didn't they announce it's in Dallas or New York? Are they going to have it outdoors in New York? Where the turf is the worst in MetLife Stadium. I mean, that is 100% the most notorious artificial surface in the NFL.
It'll all be on grass. I mean, they have
I know they have grass, to. So if they have to do it to bring in the events, then let's...
MetLife.
Let's keep it.
Yeah. That's where it's at.
It is at MetLife, right? It's just amazing to see. It was so great to walk in there and just see that green grass inside SoFi. It's just like, this is the way it is, man.
Yeah, like I said, the pictures you sat in and watched, looking at other people's pictures and videos.
And what a scene it was. The fans were just lit. The energy was incredible. And each rush felt like a rush of the puck in hockey. It was just building up the crescendo. I can't tell you how much I enjoyed it. We all enjoyed it.
Did you happen to run into the second gentleman yesterday?
I did not, but I did run into Puka Nacua.
Oh, you did?
Oh,
my guy Puka.
Puka was there.
Interesting. How's he doing?
Very well. We're just paying rent in Puka's world, sir.
Is he eating some nachos?
He was not. He looked very healthy and ready to go.
Okay. No Twizzlers or anything?
Nothing. Okay. Not at all.
I love Twizzlers.
But I was also drinking at the time.
Oh, God. I saw you in a hat.
Oh, you saw that picture. Okay. Susie's taking pictures and sending it now. Okay.
Hey guys, welcome to the Candy Valentino Show. I'm Candy Valentino. I was a founder before I could legally order a drink. And for more than 2.5 decades, I've built, scaled, acquired, and exited multiple businesses in diverse industries. Now my goal is to help you by sharing the knowledge that I've learned, the mistakes that I've made, and the wisdom that I've developed over my journey. Bi-weekly episodes every Monday and Thursday.
The Candy Valentino Show, wherever you listen.